Black Rifle Coffee, though, it's just really good coffee. They have the best roast out there, the best blends out there. It's veteran owned. They employ retired and active duty veterans, and they've been working with the Boot Campaign, one of the most renowned veteran focused nonprofits in the nation. And the Boot Campaign helps to provide customized care to treat the root causes of the invisible wounds of war, things like post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, chronic pain, insomnia, all kinds of stuff. And so with every sale of their ready-to-drink coffee, they're giving proceeds to the Boot Campaign to help veterans through these means. And they have a ton of different flavors with the ready-to-drink coffees. You can get the 12-packs as part of the coffee club. So the coffee club, if you're unfamiliar, you sign up, you choose your select roast, your frequency of shipment, and you never, ever run out of coffee. And you can choose several roasts. You don't have to just, you know, chain yourself to one. And you never run out of coffee. Free shipping right on your doorstep. I'm telling you, it's more affordable than the bougie stuff in the supermarket aisle. So Black Rifle Coffee, they're committed to serving the veteran community. Let's all continue to make a difference. Raise a cane together. Fuel Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join the coffee club today.
And Mr. President, after today, would you still refer to President Xi as a dictator? This is a term that you used earlier this year.
Well, look, he is.
So, technical difficulties already today. I told you guys it's going to be that kind of day. I told you guys. I did predict this. I didn't wake up and choose violence today, but by God, some people are making me do it. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday. It's Thursday today. It's not Friday yet, my dude. It is not Friday yet. Tis only Thursday. Dana Lash here with you at the top of this very first hour. And a lot of stuff to discuss because we had POTUS who was in Little China. That's just what we're calling San Francisco now. I just don't know what else to call it. I was thinking about this. I'm like, actually, that seems like that's pretty accurate. Incredibly accurate. So, Little China. And it was weird because he seemed kind of butt-kissy. I can say that. It's not a word, but it is now. And then he goes back, swings back around. He's like, yeah, well, he's always been a dictator. Well, he's a communist leader. Is that a surprise to you? He's a communist. Don't understand why that is a mystery to him. He when he said, you know, he's a dictator, he said it like it's a revelation, like it's a new thing. So he was in San Francisco, and he also said, do we have the soundbite with him talking about Gavin Newsom? Because this was also weird. It was just a weird thing. It was just a weird, I mean, of course nothing came of it. I told you guys nothing was going to come of it. That nothing was going to come of this meeting. It's not going to be anything. But he was complimenting Gavin Newsom. And I think it's a little interesting. Listen to this.
I want to talk about Governor Newsom. I want to thank him. He's been one hell of a governor, man. Matter of fact, he could be anything you want. He could have the job I'm looking for.
What? What? Did y'all catch that at the end there?
I think that was intentional.
Do you think that, what do you mean you think that was intentional?
Look, we've been talking about this on the show. We see that Democrats' plan B, it appears to be Gavin Newsom.
Yes.
Now as we get closer, here we are now less than a year out from the general. And he's floating this guy could have the job I'm going for.
So do you think that he's smart enough in this moment to be that catty? Because he could be like, yeah, he's, you know, really running a shadow campaign for me. I mean, that's what everybody's been saying. Newsom's denied it, but maybe that's Joe kind of throwing it out there. Or, I mean, is he sentient enough to be catty?
You could have stopped it. Is he sentient enough? And the question is no.
So you think that was just him being, you know, goofy?
I don't know. I think that there may have been discussions about it, and that's him letting it loose.
Or
by accident.
Or now let me float another theory to you. Let me float another theory. Okay, here's my other theory. My other theory is this. The potential of a Gavin Newsom VP. He is VP. He replaces Kamala from California. Switcheroo. I mean, some people, I don't think anybody would get mad at it anymore and say, oh my gosh, you jettisoned the woman of color. How dare you do this, you old racist Joe Biden? So, I don't think anybody would say, because she's so unpopular with her own base. I don't think anybody would do it.
So Biden Newsom ticket?
Yeah. And then that way, if, you know, Mr. Sniffsmith Kids Daddy Showers decides, you know, he's too old anymore, then he just vacates, right? Or he can't go on, he gets a president, or, you know, heaven forbid. And then it's Newsom by default.
Interesting.
I know. So either way, Newsom's on that ticket. I would bet on it. He's on that ticket. That's what all this is leading up to. Telling you what. All right. So this has been unfolding out there. Oh, by the way, have you seen all the protesters? Hold up. Have you seen all the protesters lately? So you've had the protesters. I don't know. Everybody's blocking the road for something. First off, you had all the pro-Hamas stooges that were showing their A-double snakes in D.C. They had to shut apparently they had to, there's like a private thing that had to get shut down. They were arrested. I was told, Kane, this was an insurrection. Yep. J6, these people. Yep. That's an insurrection. Look at the insurrectionism that is happening in the video that Juan is showing you on the simulcast. If you're watching the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show, I was told reliably, Kane, by reliable people, you know, people in the know, that this was an insurrection.
Right.
That's what we're told to trust those people who are telling us that. So that's, Dems the rules. So that's an insurrection. So they were violent as all get out last night at their little riots, their pro-Hamas riots, right? So they were super violent. And then while Biden's in San Francisco, you had all the weather people go out there and start blocking the roads. You know, the weather people or the climate, whatever folks, like, oh, the sun's hot in the summer. We're going to block the road because we're concerned about thunderstorms in 30 years or something like that. Those people, they were out there blocking roads right and left. That's like a favorite thing. What did they accomplish? Not anything. Notice the difference, by the way, too, between the pro-Israel protest, over 290,000 people. Juan's got footage of the people shutting the bridge down. What does their goofy little sign say? Oh, this was the Hamas. Oh, this wasn't even the client. This was in San Francisco on the Bay Bridge. Yeah. This is the pro-Hamas people, too. You didn't see 290,000 people shut down any roadways in D.C. They didn't have to. You had 290,000 people there. You know how many roads there are that they got to cross to even get to the National Mall from where they park? As somebody who has, I can't tell you the untold number of times that I have demonstrated in D.C. or been a part of a demonstration in D.C., spoken at a demonstration in D.C., covered a demonstration in D.C. You go park, you have to cross all the roads to get to the mall. You have to go across all of them to get to the mall, right? And so all of that, nobody blocked a road. Nobody blocked nothing at the Stand With Israel March. Nobody blocked any roads. But with the pro-Hamas people, well, you know, it's kind of par for the course. You know, they're blocking roads and getting arrested and fighting with cops and brawling and doing all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it's to be expected. It's to be expected, for sure. For sure. So that's what's been happening last night. And also this morning. Now, also what happened, the Senate passed that crappy House continuing resolution. I wrote about this over at Substack. If you sign up for Substack, which I hope you do, that is the newsletter that I send out. There's been a lot of really good stuff that's gone out this week. A lot of really good stuff. That's why you don't want to miss it, because you're going to be in the know. There's a piece that we had go out. We had a speaker revolt over nothing. And I kind of got into, people with skin in the game, people who make money off of the grift of influence or consulting, they view people like me as a threat because I am not beholden to any of those people. I don't have to trade in influence at cocktail parties in DC. I don't get paid for consultancy. I don't consult. I don't do any of that stuff. So when you don't have any masters, then you're a threat to the people who do. And the mere mention of the fact that we had a speaker revolt for nothing really ticks off and has ticked off some of the folks that want to sell you the fairy tale that it made the Republican Party more conservative and it didn't. And this is why that's such a sticking point with me. Because as I wrote yesterday, you know, we're funding Ukraine, we're funding the ATF, the same big government, and we suspended normal rules to facilitate all of this, all things that we were told was the reason that we had to get rid of the last speaker. And what my concern is that we have these people in the party that took the turd sandwich that got McCarthy fired, and they literally just reintroduced it and got Republicans to accept it on the second go around with the understanding that somehow it was more conservative because McCarthy wasn't involved. So they got Republicans to just accept it. In one fell swoop, the entire party and the party supporters cheerfully accepted the same turd sandwich that they had were rioting over with McCarthy. So you got Republicans to accept it's a psychological mind job. You got Republicans to accept a big spending CR that literally cuts nothing. It doesn't do it. It doesn't cut a damn thing. If we're being honest, it's funding all the same stuff. And we were convinced, and some people actually believe it, that it was more conservative because McCarthy wasn't involved. Now, the reason it's being positioned is that because there's some people involved in this that got a safe face. It's more about them than it is about you. It's more about them than it is about the business of the country. It's more about them preserving their earmark king status than it is about anything else. I don't like being lied to. I don't like being taken for a ride. I don't care who the hell you are. One of the things that I hate, and I'm going to talk about this here coming up, I'm really getting tired of the consultancy culture that is so pervasive right now with commentary on the right. So many people got their hands in so many different pots, and they are not being honest with you. They really aren't. I mean, it's kind of pathetic. And they don't tell you about their special interests. I can't stand that. I cannot stand being taken for a ride by people. I cannot stand watching somebody who's, you know, presents themselves as being, you know, bipartisan without skin in the game, knowing that they're secretly meeting with members of Congress to try to formulate a plan to help their guy that they get paid to consult. Not kidding. It's all of this stuff, I don't know why it's not discussed more. And I know a lot of this is inside baseball that a lot of people don't care about. But I hate saying, too, on the other hand, that you got to care about it because this ultimately is going to affect, like, for instance, you're going to pay more in taxes. We're all paying more in taxes because of the CR. This goes back to Step Brothers and the Catalina wine mixer. When you're messing with my nut, man, I get a little cranky pants about it. So we got hosed into accepting this thing. And acting like, oh, it's more conservative because McCarthy's not there. So wait a minute, you're telling me it's the same turd sandwich. Oh, yes, the same turd sandwich, the same two pieces of bread, the same piece of lettuce, the same slice of cheese, the same turd. It's the same turd sandwich. What makes it different? Well, it's under the new guy, not the old guy. And by the way, again, for the people who look at me as a threat because I mentioned the obvious, this isn't about McCarthy. It's not about Gates. It's not about your precious that's in the Congress. It's not about any of these people. It's about hosing voters and exploiting their goodwill and taking advantage of their trust in you and hosing them into thinking that they got something better when they didn't. So the Senate passed it. Notice how easily the Senate passed it. Not a single damn fight from any of them. They were like, yes, yes, we'll pass this. And we get to pretend that we have this, you know, this appearance of bipartisanship when really you just got hosed again. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss, same thing. Looking for a proactive solution in the battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana 10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Have you ever played Monopoly? The purpose of the game is to build wealth by buying assets and profit. Are you playing the game by just passing go and collecting $200 without staying out of jail? Where does that go in the long run? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, Representative George Santos is not going to seek re-election after this damning House ethics report. I think he's actually one of the more entertaining members of the House. Because he flies that freak flag. Honestly, I appreciate when people just are like, you know what, I ain't going to hide it. So he's out of New York. He said he's not going to seek re-election in 24 in the wake of this damning House ethics report. They found that he likely committed campaign fraud. See, everybody commits campaign fraud there. He just got caught. And other ethical violations. They said he blatantly stole from his campaign, sought to fraudulently exploit every aspect of his House candidacy, blah, blah. I mean, literally, you're describing everybody in D.C. Republican-led Ethics Committee unanimously voted, blah, blah, blah. I just don't care. Entertain me, because everybody's a clown up there. You're all a bunch of damn clowns. Entertain us. If you're not going to cut our taxes, then you better be entertaining us. Put on the Juggalo makeup and get to work, right? Let's do it. Let's see, up to 10 inches of rain are expected in southeastern Florida. Isn't southeastern Florida made of, like, wetness already? They're made of wet. So, and gators. And Florida, man. So, that's, like, a lot. That's a lot of rain, yo. That's a lot of rain. But they all got boats down there, and they're used to it. I don't think they care. It's a sunshine state, but they're going to be like, where's the sun? For at least a brief period. Let's see. Oh, my gosh. So, this is crazy. This former editor of a political news site. The political news site's a left-leaning site called The Recount. I'll say it again. A left-leaning site called The Recount. The recently former editor-in-chief was arrested for child porn. I mean, he looks like somebody that would be arrested for child porn, if I'm being honest about it. Slade Somer. Wow. That's the name, dude. He ran the left-leaning The Recount. Of course, the leftist Recount editor was arrested for child porn. He had gross, I just put him to death already, 1,300 images of grotesqueness. Kill him already. Put him to death. I think that child predators should be immediately put to death. Our society, the reason we have such a criminal element is because the indulgence of our society, these people thrive on it. That's what it is. And Justin Trudeau faces calls to exit with his party trailing in the polls. Yeah, we've got that. A whole bunch of stuff. The battle for the soul of the right as well. Stick with us. So have you ever browsed in incognito mode? It's probably not as incognito as you think. And why would it be? I mean, incognito mode, like the Chrome browser itself, is Google product. And Google has made its fortune by tracking your movements online. There's even a $5 billion class action lawsuit against the company in California, where it's accused of secretly collecting user data. Now, Google's defense is that incognito does not mean invisible. So how do you actually make yourself as invisible as possible online? Well, you use ExpressVPN. Turns out that even in incognito mode, your online activity still gets tracked and data brokers still get to buy and sell your data. One of those data points is your IP address. Data harvesters use your IP to uniquely identify you and your location. So if you really want to go incognito and protect your privacy, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN. Visit expressvpn.com/Dana and get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Dana. Visit expressvpn.com/Dana to learn more.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. I thought the song was appropriate for the contents of this segment. It's just a little Nine Inch Nails. And it seemed appropriate. Welcome back to the program, as I said. Dana Lash, bottom of this first hour. You can listen coast to coast in a market near you. You can stream the nationally syndicated radio program, and you can also watch the live stream. Facebook, YouTube, always good discussion going down at YouTube. Channel 347, DirecTV as well. I have a saying that I've said for a long time, that making stupid people famous always comes with consequences. And I have always been very, almost harsh, as harsh against people that are same-sided in many instances as I am towards people with whom I disagree on the left. And I also have a an approach to disagreement. Now, if it's, you know, if it's a private disagreement, I try to be very New Testament about it. But I also, you know, one of my very dear friends and late mentor, I worked with him. In fact, Ben Shapiro and I worked together with him, Andrew Breitbart, and before Bannon ruined it, the website, worked for Andrew Breitbart. And Andrew had an approach wherein, you know, if you had disagreements with people in the movement, like allies, even if you weren't allies, like you're not friends, even if you're allied with some common interest, 80-20, the Reagan 80-20 rule, you know, you have your disagreements privately so that it cannot be used as fodder publicly by your opposition. Your opposition, which would then use it to divide different groups on the right and weaken their opposition. And that's what's happening right now. Unfortunately, I don't like to talk about same side stuff because I think, A, most of you don't give a rat's ass. And who would blame you? You're busy. A lot of this stuff to the uninitiated looks like stupid, petty squabbles. And I'll be honest with you, it is. For a lot of these people, it is. But for a lot of others, there's something else that they see that's bubbling up. That's like it's sort of like a quasi-Bircherism 2.0. There's stuff that they see that's bubbling up, and they're a little concerned about it. And they're also concerned with the approach that the right has developed. Case in point. Now, I remember when I was first getting involved in politics, I can't even remember this kid's name. There was some kid that was being promoted heavily. I think his name was Jonathan or something. He's being promoted heavily on the right. He was invited to CPAC. You know, I think he spoke at CPAC. And I always thought it was weird to have kids speaking out about stuff. I'm like, you live at home and you don't pay taxes. Like, you still believe in the tooth fairy. Why should anybody listen to you? Although now, you know what? I mean, you know, fast forward to current era. If you mock somebody about believing the tooth fairy, hell, it could be a quote-unquote hate crime now. Who knows? You know, don't you deny my perceived reality. In order for equality and equity, you have to believe it too. It's how beliefs work. My magic doesn't work unless you believe that I'm magical. But they had this kid speaking everywhere. And I just thought, this is going to turn around and bite a lot of people in the butt. It's going to turn around and a lot of people are going to get burned, and I'll be damned, like clockwork. He went through puberty and all of a sudden hated the right and became a big leftist. I'm like, oh, well. And then was talking smack about everyone. And I remember saying on air at the time, wow, who didn't see this coming? The right, I understand that culturally, the right did not see, and this is, you know, looking back like at in the 70s and the 80s, they didn't really see the importance of making some of the biggest forms of information distribution part of their playing field. So they gave them up, right? They gave up academia. They gave up entertainment. A lot of people thought it was kind of lowbrow to mess around in entertainment, but yet that is your biggest source of, honestly, information. Look at how everything's infotainment now. Everything meshed together to become this weird policy chimera. It's just odd. But that's the reality of it. It's the reality of the situation. And so as a result, the right has been really underserved and underrepresented. And after being kicked around for so many decades, you get a little, I don't want to say desperate, but you get a little anxious, right? And you want to finally notch some wins. And you want to feel like you're fighting the good fight. And you want to feel like it's making a difference. And you also want to feel like you're not alone. And that's the other thing. The Alinskyization of people on the right, the purpose is to make them feel isolated and cut off and make them feel like they are alone. And the left was very successful in doing that to the right, you know, in many, many previous years. And I think that's one of the reasons why the right looked for so many people that they could name as allies. And especially as racial animosities kicked off anew under Barack Obama. And I think it wasn't done intentionally as a way, as some sort of unacknowledged racism to say, oh, we're going to go find black conservatives that agree with us. But or we're going to go find this person that fits in this category, or gay conservative or whatever. I think that there were people just wanted to feel like they had allies and felt validated in their quest for smaller government, because that's what it's always been about, liberty and smaller government. But in the zeal to do that, I think that we have lain aside some things that actually maybe sort of, you know, protect our shared goal of going forward. And one of those things is to make sure that people, A, know what the hell they're talking about, and B, that they're more interested in fighting the left than they are picking fights with their own sides. I said yesterday on social media that I really wish people on our sides, some of them, were as interested in getting hits on the left as they are about trying to get one up on each other in order to see who gets more influence with their peers. And it's a weird thing to watch. I don't get it. This is why I love not being in DC, because I just don't want to play that game. And I can't imagine always playing that game. So this brings me to my point, and I wasn't going to say anything about this. I talked to one of my friends about this yesterday. I've known Ben Shapiro for a long time. I've known him for ages, and we do not agree on everything all the time. And we've had some disagreements where I've like texted him or called him, and I'm like, "Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Like, why the hell did you say this? I don't care. I will, you know, I'll call anybody." I'm like, you know, and we've always, you know, I would ring him up privately. I'm like, "Why would you say this?" And we talk it out, and we'll disagree, or we'll agree, or I'll convince him or something. Just because I may disagree with people on a couple of things doesn't mean that that person is like an opponent. And this is a mindset that has disappeared on the right. The right is starting to adopt a lot of the tendencies of the left, i.e. if you disagree with me on something, then you have betrayed everything, even if it's one issue, and there's no room for reconciliation, no road back for redemption. And so I saw this thing because I know Tucker. I've known Tucker for a long time. I've known Tucker when Tucker wore his bow tie and used to think that Andrew Breitbart was lowbrow and did not like the kind of, theatrical analysis that Andrew used to provide. And I just think it's incredibly ironic, witnessing everything I've witnessed today, for him to have had that opinion. But people change, and I think they come about it, you know, very organically. Which brings me to my other point. I'm all for organic conversions, because what is the point for any of us to do what we do and believe what we believe so ardently if, when someone does change their mind, we still hold their past offenses against them? Oh, well, you used to believe this, so even though you agree with me now and you're legit on it, I still am going to reject you because you used to believe. That's what the left does. Because the left wants to scare people so much into hive mind that no one will even privately on their own entertain difference of thought. But that's not what we do on the right, at least not what we're supposed to do. But I do say, and I do believe that there's a caveat to this. If you change your mind, that's great. If that's the ultimate victory. I don't want to destroy someone, because destruction isn't winning. I want to persuade them and convince them. That is the ultimate win. I want to convince them that my side is better. And this runs both ways. You know, the devil doesn't destroy, the devil perverts. We'll take something good and pervert it and ruin it that way so that it looks beyond redemption. But I want to convince people of the correct way to approach limited government and have them agree with me. I don't want to destroy them. And that's something else that's disappearing on the right. So when I saw this fight between Ben and Candace Owens, I've met Owens like literally one time. I think I've only talked to her for like a second or so. She seemed amiable. You know, I've known Tucker for years. I've known Ben for years. And I don't like, I don't give a rat's ass about other people's petty disputes and all that other stuff. But I do think it's kind of weird, just some of the stuff that I've seen. So I'll say this. I think that you can say whatever you want to say, no matter whom you're working for. But I also think that you need to be held to account for what you say. And I think that we have to like kind of slow our roll and make sure that, you know, people who are espousing the principles of liberty, I'm all for more voices, not fewer, but that does not mean that you neglect the intellectual capacity of those voices. That doesn't mean that that you lower the bar for expectations in terms of your level of analysis, right? So there was a thing that came out. It was very well organized. It came out yesterday. Tucker and Candace sat down. Very, very interestingly timed. Very well organized. And they were having a conversation, and they were going after Ben. Ben's been wrong about things before. Dude was wrong about, yes, he was wrong about the vaccines. He was wrong about a number of things before. Yes, he absolutely was. Now, here's the big question. Here's the true measure of where we stand. Do you want to convince someone and have them join you in your advocacy against these things and use their previous offenses as a tool of witness, which, by the way, has been one of the most powerful tools in all of scripture? Or do you just want to totally destroy them and then have people resent you quietly because they feel like there's ever no path to reconciliation? That's the big question. I don't feel like either. I don't know. I have questions about motivations. So I think Ben had been asked, and this was captured on video. He had been asked about something that Candace had said and at some fundraiser or whatever. And I'd asked him about this, and he's like, "Well, you always assume that you're being recorded." I mean, that's how we grew up. You just assume that everyone's recording you 24/7. And he had said, he was taking issue with some of the stuff that she had said. Like, she had tweeted, for instance, before in the context of, like, Israel's response, you know, no government has a right to commit genocide ever. This was on November 3rd. There's no justification for genocide. I can't believe this needs to be said or is even considered the least bit controversial to state. Well, I think that that's, first off, it begs the question as to the response of Israel being called genocide, or that they need to have restraint or anything else. I mean, the history of the area, et cetera, et cetera. I can't believe we have to actually still go over this. But I also, you know, think that, you know, like, for instance, stuff like this. I just want to say, audio soundbite 21. This is the kind of stuff that he was repudiating. Listen.
This is not about a geographical, geopolitical dispute between Israel and Palestine. This is about an ideological mission to rid the world of Israel and the Jews. That's what I think people misunderstand.
Yeah, Jews live very comfortably in the United States of America, so they're not going to be, I mean, it, you know, obviously, Jews
lived comfortably in Germany before World War, before Germany, too. They did. Doctors, lawyers,
I really struggle when people start using, you know, things that have happened in the past that are abhorrent, like slavery, to say that, like, if this doesn't happen, then slavery is going to be back, or if this doesn't happen, then it's going to be the Holocaust too. I think there's a lot more meaningful chatter and discussion that we can have. We don't have to resort to that kind of,
I don't think you need to also resort to going back to comparisons to the race relations with every argument, because that's not appropriate in every case. They had this big argument, and he had repudiated some of the, I mean, I have sound bites and I've got tweets. He had repudiated some of the stuff she had said, and she responded with scripture. Now, you can read that two ways. You can be like, this is a Christian who, or this is someone who's professing Christian faith while seemingly taking an underhanded knock at someone who's Jewish, who obviously does not have Christ as their savior. And so you could interpret it that way. You can interpret it as, well, maybe she was being genuine. When I say that, you know, I have questions about people's 180, especially when literally just 6 years ago you were a hardcore leftist doxing people on the right, and you had done events with, like, Al Sharpton's organization. I think it's completely fair to ask how you came about to your conversion. In fact, I think it's required, especially if you want to position yourself as someone of influence to the people who believe the things that you're preaching to them about. Case in point, I'd like to touch on this flashback audio and then wonder how that fits in with citing scripture today. Listen, audio soundbite 17.
Right. So I had this idea when we were talking, because Charlie is an evangelical Christian. I'm not. Right. I believe in
this super smart guy is an evangelical Christian.
He is.
So
yeah.
Does he believe, like, Jesus came back to life?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. He's an evangelical Christian.
So right? He believes that someone died.
Yeah.
And then 3 days later,
yeah,
they came back to life, and that they walked on water and.
Yeah. I haven't really gotten into it with him, because I'm not mm-hmm. the person that should ever be, like, debating or talking right. about religion. It's not my,
unless you're talking
mm-hmm.
to,
like,
Jewish
shtick,
people,
I guess.
Right. Unless you're talking to Jewish people, then it's totally fine to cite scripture, but you're not an evangelical. Let's be careful on that. I mean, this is why I'm talking. It's, like, confusing. So, like, what is it? I don't know. I mean, I'm all for people having conversions, but at the same time, I just think that people are owed, especially when one is very actively seeking out to position themselves as a person of authority on these issues, then the people are owed an explanation of conversion, if one exists. We have a lot still to touch on. There's no topic that's a sacred cow here on this program. Remember, you know, times are tough and you want to thank people who bring you free radio, like Headrest Safe. No, stop. Don't you even wait. If you're going to get up and get you some new Sodi, hold up. You need this. You need a Headrest Safe. All the other safes out there are garbage. Here's why. Everybody knows what they are. I literally can look in someone's car and I can tell you where they're storing their stuff, especially their gun, because they're obvious. Even those who are just even somewhat initiated. The Headrest Safe, though, nobody knows. And it's because it integrates seamlessly into your vehicle. They can match over 80% of the vehicle interiors out there. And it's a passenger side Headrest Safe. I mean, it's, you know, pretty self-explanatory. So it doesn't affect or have in any way get involved with driver side stuff. There's no anything, no worry about driver safety. It's a one-of-a-kind vehicle safe. It is invisible. And it actually won an award. Concealed Carry Magazine gave it their Editor's Choice Award for best-in-class vehicle safes. Now, it's designed as a gun safe, but it's an invisible secure storage solution for anything that you need. Medication, cash, jewelry, whatever. You can get to your stuff in 2.5 seconds. Magnetic access door, user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader. You also have the keypad and a hard key, too. And the headrest safe replaces your existing passenger headrest lock securely in place with a deployable toggle bolt. That thing ain't going nowhere when you put it in there. And if I can put it in there, you can put it in there. So again, it's smart. It's useful. I have one. I think it's a great Christmas gift, a great gift for yourself for now. Treat yourself and get it for someone else as well. I mean, I think it's one of the most innovative products to hit the market. I think this is the vehicle safe that you want. And for a limited time right now, the Headrest Safe, they have a bundle price. It's been reduced by a whole $100. And with code Dana, you get an additional $50 off. So order your Headrest Safe, install it yourself, and enjoy peace of mind, 100% guarantee. Headrest Safe caters to anyone seeking secure and accessible in-vehicle storage. Find it at theheadrestsafe.com. Use code Dana. Get yourself an exclusive $50 off. Theheadrestsafe.com, code Dana for $50 off. The Headrest Safe, 100% money-back guarantee.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Innovation is about our ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been. The ability to not only imagine a future, but to build it.
Guys, I can't, man. Why? Are they trolling us now? Is this just a giant troll?
It does feel like that, doesn't it?
Unburdened by what has been. Is she trying to make that like her go-to, like her phrase? Like, does she want to be quoted with that? I'm just trying to figure out.
I'll just say
this.
Let go of the past. She says it all, I guess.
Unburdened by what has been. No. She sounds like someone who has a, 800 word count paper. And she's at like 762 and she's just got to get the rest of those characters in there. We have another hour on the way, ladies and gentlemen. All of the latest in not just the battle against Hamas, the battle for the soul of the right, left, culture, all kinds of stuff. Stick with us back in mere moments. Looking for a proactive solution in a battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Look, I reiterate what I've said since I've become president, what every previous president of late has said, that we maintain the agreement that there is a one China policy, and that I'm not going to change that. That's not going to change. And so that's about the extent to which we discussed it.
A one China policy, eh? We got, we're going to continue the one China policy. So there goes that what was it, the vague strategy that they have implemented this entire time? Isn't that what they do? They ask for strategies about the vague approach where they won't even acknowledge. They won't even acknowledge that Taiwan's a landmass. Right. Yeah, kiss Taiwan goodbye. That's it. Good grief. He bent the knee. There you go. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. A lot to touch on today. We have the President of the United States who is just, it's fascinating, the ineptitude, and it's terrifying. I mean, you have Xi Jinping in the United States and the President of the United States saying, yes, we're going to continue with our policy of vagary towards, you know, this particular ally, as well as, you know, the number one producer in the world of the Tech Bros chips, and also all of the things that's required for what we would need for our big EV push, which isn't going spectacularly, as you can imagine. You can listen to the radio program Coast to Coast, by the way. You can also listen to it terrestrially. And you can also check out the simulcast of the radio program on YouTube, Facebook, and Channel 347 DirecTV. So I got to play this for you. Audio soundbite 8 also. He said that he had discussed fentanyl with Xi. This is so bad. Guys, can I just say really quickly, I don't like Biden. I don't like him personally, and I don't like him as a politician. I don't like his policies. But I don't like seeing any leader of the United States look this cognitively impaired at a major international meeting where you're talking with one of our biggest geopolitical foes. This sounds horrible. Listen to this.
We're in a situation where we agreed that fentanyl and its precursors will be curbed substantially. And the pill presses. That's a big movement. They're doing that. And by the way, I guess I shouldn't identify where it occurred, but John, I know two people near where I live. Their kids literally, as I said, changed, they woke up dead. Someone had inserted in, whether the young man did or not, inserted in a drug he was taking, fentanyl.
What? I know two people where their kids literally woke up dead. Well, I mean, there's no other way to do that. You okay over there? Go ahead.
If you wake up,
then you're not dead. They literally woke up dead.
I don't. What?
Bring back Unburdened by What Has Been. Bring her back. Oh man, I mean, at least she says it. You know, and you know what she's saying. I mean, I don't know what she's referring to. There's no clarity, but at least, you know. Oh, man. Oh, my God.
Innovation is about our ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been.
Oh, my gosh. It's so bad. It's so bad, you guys. Well, there you are. Don't you feel all so confident about the leadership of the United States? I don't. Yay. So, we got into some of the House stuff, the Senate passed and the CR. We've been discussing the situation with Israel, the battle for the soul of the right, also as it's related to this, which we're going to touch on. Can we talk about these Osama TikToks? I was privy to a discussion. I was watching two friends of mine have a discussion where they all kind of agreed, but yet disagreed on some fundamental things. The topic began with this issue we're going to introduce to you. You have these people that are making these videos on TikTok, and they're saying, "Oh, we read the Osama bin Laden letter, and now we feel like, you know, maybe terrorism is a justifiable form of resistance to occupiers or injustice or something to that effect." And they're sharing it all over social media. And there are questions about the legitimacy of the videos that are being shared, because you know, TikTok, as you know, I refuse, even though it like probably hurts us business wise. And I also reject the idea that young people only get all of their stuff on TikTok. That's so stupid. And I think that that's, you know, then it has to change. That doesn't mean, well, I guess we better all get on the Chinese app, the communist controlled app. Do you realize that's like screwing for chastity to basically adopt that and work and adopt something from your geopolitical enemy as because you think that's going to get you ahead some way? That's the bait. We have some shallow thinking in this country. Oh my gosh. But there are a lot of people sharing this on TikTok, and a lot of it doesn't even look like it was like shot here in the United States. But it's a psyop. It's a big, giant psyop. And there's so much bad information that goes around, and people are being manipulated by this. They're being so incredibly manipulated by this. I mean, it's weird to see this stuff because, I mean, and I think with these pro-Osama videos, I don't even think that these are, it's organized disinformation is what it is. And I think a lot of them are probably super far leftists that are doing this because this, you know, the letter that he had written was published in 2011. So it's not as though it was hidden or that this is a new discovery. It just seems very questionably timed. Now, this is one of the videos. This is what I'm talking about. There are a ton of these out there. Audio Soundbite 16. This is like exactly what I'm talking about. This is what's been going viral on the app that I refuse to get on.
Girl, what? They found the letter.
What letter?
The letter.
What letter?
Osama's letter.
So I just read A Letter to America. And I will never look at life the same.
I feel like I'm going through like an existential crisis right now.
So this is a really good example of narrative control.
It's also a really good example of you trying to push out a psyop on Americans. That's what it is. The Guardian had it up and they deleted it because that's when people were pushing. It went viral in these videos. And so I don't know why. I just think it's all very interestingly timed. This thing has been up there for 20 years. It's been on the Guardian's website for 20 years. And it's this anti-Semitic, you know, he hates America, by the way. He hates America just as much as he hates Jews. Don't think that, you know, you're somehow, you know, separate from that. They hate you. Osama bin Laden hated you. Islamofascists hate you. And they've been now promoting this, like all these people. I think it's organized disinformation, and I think they're a bunch of progressives. That's what I think they are. And I noticed that, like, why are they all chicks? Like, they're that one dude in the little montage that we had was like, he was an outlier. They're mostly chicks doing this video. It's weird, dude. This, don't you agree, Kane, that this is just organized disinfo? This is not organic.
Oh, absolutely, this is organized. There's no doubt in my mind.
It is really weird. It's super weird. And I also think, too, that I think that some of the stuff that we're seeing, especially with regard to the Israel and Hamas stuff, I think it's the same way. I think it's disorganized and disinformation. I really do. Or organized disinformation is what I think it is. There's this, like, brainwashing is a lot easier with social media. And you could sit here and say, oh, yeah, well, we have to like verify who everyone is. That just gets rid of the tool. You realize that that's a specious argument. You're talking about the same formulaic response that the left invokes for gun control, the same formulaic response that they invoke for prohibition. You have this variable. And if we just remove this variable from the people, they act like this variable, this action or this inanimate object somehow possesses the ability to render people stupid, intelligent good people stupid, or render intelligent good people evil. Like if you allow people to have social media anonymously, that's going to make them evil. Or if you have allow people to access firearms, that's going to turn them all into murderers. It's the same formulaic response that the left has used to push gun control, speech control, everything else control for years. So, and it's the same thing. It's why when Nikki Haley said what she said, I was like, you're literally, that's the same formula that they use for gun control. Oh, let's just register everything. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's the same thing. And you can make people identify themselves online. You can do, it's not going to change whether or not people believe information. I mean, you can change how people get information, but that's not going to affect if they believe it or not. I think people are missing the forest for the trees here. It's just weird to see. But yeah, these videos that have been going out, I mean, it's just really weird that it's just timed right now. I just find that so odd, right? So odd. So odd. I'm sure it has, you know, sure it's not organized. Probably all organic, Kane. It's all organic. I'm really sure. Now, a couple of other things to hit as well. We've been talking about some of the culture stuff. And this argument that I've seen made, especially with regard to the Israel and Hamas stuff, I want people to understand something here. When you talk about Hamas's war on Israel, I've noticed that this discussion has very, very far reaching boundaries. I mean, very, very far reaching intimations, because it doesn't just affect this issue. You know, I'm talking about formulas for that leftists use when arguing for gun control or speech control, etc. I think that in many instances, you know, some of these psyop brainwashing things that you see on social media, I think that they're also evident in political discourse on a number of issues, whether it's coronavirus, whether it's talking about COVID and the psyop with that, or whether it is discussing Hamas's attack on Israel. One of the things that I see that's been incredibly prevalent on the right is that somehow if you discuss Hamas's attack on Israel, it is to the exclusion of the border, or it is to the exclusion of any number of crises that are plaguing our nation, whether it's border issues, whether it's the opioid crisis, whether it's, you know, the prevalence of crime, whatever it is. It's always assumed that if you're discussing this issue, then it is to the exclusion of all these other issues, which I think is a specious argument to make. It's really quite stupid, because It's another brainwashing technique to prevent wide discussion on this, I think. And I've seen a lot of it on the right. I got to tell you, there's some stuff on the right that's like been real weird lately. I don't mean to like beat a dead horse. We talked, you know, a lot about it a little bit last hour, but there's some weird stuff here. And you need to understand, 2024 is the last election. That's going to be the one that determines whether or not we continue living with a modicum of freedom and we can claw some of these freedoms back, or we plunge full on into statehood, statismhood rather. I mean, that's it. There are so many things that are going to be impossible to change, writing algorithms for AI, everything else. And one of the reasons that I'm focusing so much on this stuff within the right is because this movement is the last, that's it. I mean, not just in the United States, look around the globe. This is it. And it's getting hijacked by people who I think are masquerading as conservatives while silently spreading progressivism, and in some cases not so silently, dressing up progressive ideals like compassionate conservatism, which is big government and drag, as somehow being a conservative issue. I'm going to be hammering this incessantly from here on out, by the way. Moving forward, wise foods. By the time I think we're all done with this stuff, we're going to need to be eating our wise foods, because we're going to have burned everything to the ground in addition to all the bridges. Are you prepared for whatever life throws your way? Because look, here's the thing. If something goes sideways, the last thing that you want to worry about is, gosh, how am I going to eat? Where's my next meal going to come from? This is where Wise Food Storage comes in. So right now, you can save $50 on your four-week food survival kit. You get free shipping at preparewithdana.com. Two-bucket, four-week survival food kit. It has 2,200 calories. You get 64 grams of protein per day, 28-day supply. Everything is made with high-quality U.S. ingredients. Just add water. Freeze-dry, dehydrated, 25-year shelf life as well. They got a ton of different dishes, a lot of different options. And you can order yours today at preparewithdana.com. And you save $50 on your four-week survival food kit, plus you get that free shipping. So visit preparewithdana.com and, you know, get prepared. That's preparewithdana.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Apparently, more and more Americans say the justice system is soft on criminals and they want more police on the streets, not and anti-bias workshops. It's a new survey out from Gallup. Fully 77% of Americans now say crime has gotten worse. Wow, you didn't think that the whole defund thing wasn't going to have any consequences? Wow, it's almost like, Kane, they were told. Almost. Yeah, apparently. A hiker drank from a puddle and ate tadpoles to survive a Texas desert ordeal. So marketing executive Jeff Hahn, who's 59, says that there were three miracles involved in his survival in extreme heat out in Big Bend Ranch State Park, which is a gorgeous area. He said he was lost for more than a day. He had heat exhaustion while he was out on a hike. Of course, he went out in mid-June, you know, when it's the hottest. It's a great time to go for a hike in mid-June. And good grief, out in Big Bend Ranch. But he said that he was able to survive because he got water out of a puddle and ate tadpoles. He had a big whole ordeal. Global decline in male fertility has been linked to, they say, common pesticides. I'm sure it's not big pharma at all. Scientists have been spending decades trying to untangle puzzling questions over falling male sperm concentrations, obviously, gamete concentrations. They said a new analysis of 25 studies of pesticides, they say it shows a clear connection. Don't talk about big pharma. They say it shows a clear connection to pesticides, not at all big pharma. So it seems like there's like interference there with my... And a Tennessee man was arrested for DUI and meth while driving a lawnmower called Santa's Train full of kids. Well, I'll have a holly jolly methmas. Stick with us. Black Rifle Coffee, though, it's just really good coffee. They have the best roast out there, the best blends out there. It's veteran-owned. They employ retired and active duty veterans, and they've been working with the Boot Campaign, one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the nation. And the Boot Campaign helps to provide customized care to treat the root causes of the invisible wounds of war, things like post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, chronic pain, insomnia, all kinds of stuff. And so with every sale of their ready-to-drink coffee, they're giving proceeds to the Boot Campaign to help veterans through these means. And they have a ton of different flavors with the ready-to-drink coffees. You can get the 12-packs as part of the coffee club. So the coffee club, if you're unfamiliar, you sign up, you choose your select roast, your frequency of shipment, and you never, ever run out of coffee. And you can choose several roasts. You don't have to just need to chain yourself to one. And you never run out of coffee. Free shipping right on your doorstep. I'm telling you, it's more affordable than the bougie stuff in the supermarket aisle. So Black Rifle Coffee, they're committed to serving the veteran community. Let's all continue to make a difference. Raise a can together. Fuel Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join the coffee club today.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, they certainly did talk about the war in Ukraine and, of course, what's going on in the Middle East. China has interests in Europe, and they have interests there in the Middle East as well. They also have conversations with nations that we can't have or don't have, for instance, with Iran. So I won't go into too much of the diplomacy here, but we believe that China could be helpful if they're willing to be helpful with, for instance, Iran, and making it clear to Iran that Iran should not escalate this conflict, should not try to take advantage of it, and should stop threatening our troops in Iraq and Syria.
They should not. Yeah, I mean, let's hear that again. They shouldn't.
Don't.
Yeah, don't.
Well, they certainly did talk to Iran and making it clear to Iran Iran should not escalate
should not.
This.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this second hour. And you can listen coast to coast. Catch us on Channel 347 Direct TV as well. I read this story. Let me pull this up. Because this makes it all better, you know. Apparently, where's my story at? Apparently, guys, they're giving back the panda, or they're going to give more pandas or something. What was the story that I had? I think I lost it. I was joking about it. China said that they're going to be giving more pandas back or something like
right.
that.
Yeah.
They, I guess, didn't. Did they shut down the panda thing? Like the panda program or something? Was there a panda program? That's all. Basically, my whole point is that all the problems are going to be solved because of this.
No.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if they're allowing Kane, you know, okay, yeah, Xi Jinping says that China is going to send the U.S. more pandas.
New pandas.
More pandas. More of them because after they shut the whole thing down, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, they're not just giving back the pandas they took from us. They're giving us new pandas, apparently.
Like, how many pandas we talking?
Not really sure.
Pandas are like, I don't know any, but, you know, I've seen them on social media. It's like pure chaos.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, imagine the most hyperactive toddler. That's the panda. It doesn't look like it when you look, but all the videos, they're going crazy. But I'm just thinking out loud here. Like, so that means that all the problems are solved. They said that the indication is that they're gonna continue their cooperation with the U.S. on panda conservation. And they said, we're going to do our best to meet the wishes of the Californians so as to deepen the friendly ties between our two peoples. That's what Xi Jinping, the commie, said at a dinner. The guy who hates Winnie the Pooh. It's weird. He loves pandas, but banned Pooh Bear, right? So they said that they apparently are they had pandas that they left D.C. and then they went back to China. And they... I don't know. I guess everything's solved, right, guys? Everything's solved. Go ahead. Go back to your lives. You know, we're getting pandas. It's yay. Did you ask about the damn hostage, Biden? Did he ask about the hostages? Ooh, yeah. Did him or Gruesome Newsom bring up, I don't know, the hostage that, you know, China has one, the American hostage. They got an American. While we're talking about pandas, is there a way if, you know, when they send some pandas over, can they stick that hostage on the plane with them pandas? Like, obviously not in the same crate, but can, you know, they send that, can that guy catch a ride back with the pandas? What about the Uyghurs? Like, those cats that they got up there in the Xinjiang province, can they, I don't know, like, release some of them? If they're sending out pandas, maybe reach down in that heart of his and he could release some people that they got up in that province. I'm just thinking, you know. No, I don't know. Just interesting. Just wanted to put that out there. How many pandas would it take to, like, make you interested in reconciling with communist China? I would need a panda army, I think.
I wouldn't ever believe communist China on anything.
No, I mean, like...
Or to trust them
not,
on anything.
Yeah, to not believe them, but to, you know, be normalized with them.
Yeah, no.
To not want to kick Xi Jinping in the neck.
There aren't enough pandas.
And, yeah, I know. I mean, I'd take the army of pandas like Daenerys Targaryen, and then I'd turn around and I'd make the pandas eat the people that just gave them to me. Dracarys. Nom, nom, nom. That's what I would do. All right, a few things. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the Osama TikTok people. They are insufferably annoying. Aren't these the people who are all equity? Aren't these the same people? The ones that are now saying, yeah, you know, terrorism is justified when talking about resisting whatever the hell they think they're resisting. Do they know what they're resisting? Do they even know? I don't think so. Like, what is the, I think it's all, like I said, organized disinformation. I think it's a very organized effort to question the right of defense. And ultimately, that's what this comes down to in some respects. Again, I keep going back to how the left uses these tired formulas and they just switch out the variables. It could be the same equation, but they're going to switch out the numerals in it. So instead of 2 + 2 = 4, it'll be 4 + 4 = 8. They'll just switch out the variables and they'll put, it's the same formula though. So in the United States, you know, if you're a law-abiding person with a firearm and someone tries to murk you and you use your firearm in self-defense, you're the bad guy, according to these same people. So same thing applies that they're having it apply to Israel. Hamas broke the ceasefire again, attacked Israel again, this time killing more Jewish people in one day, not seen since the days of the Holocaust. And Israel's somehow the bad guy because they're defending themselves. You see a trend here. Same thing. And I'm these people that just discover this letter that's literally been on the internet for 20 years. I mean, we read it. I read it a long time ago, and I was like, oh, geez, this guy's so deluded. I mean, he just doesn't like Jewish people. I wish that some of the people who are calling for ceasefire would just come out and say what they really mean. You just don't like Jewish people. Just say it. Right? Come on. But to my point, aren't these the equity people? When you look at all the people doing these videos, and they're talking about Osama bin Laden, and maybe he was right, and the stuff that they're tweeting, which is wild. These are the people that are the pronoun people, the rainbow flag people, you know, people that would get murked day one in the Middle East for just existing as they choose to exist. So I just, you know, I got some questions. That seems to be pretty inconsistent. It seems pretty inconsistent. So I don't know. I just saw another one of these videos. Like, and it's all these progressive women. I just watched his letter to America, and he is explaining. Or I just read his letter to America, and he is explaining in it why he who what. There have been thousands of these. So I think several things are all at once, including this one lady who. Okay, sidebar. Do I want to say anything about the mole on her face?
Hold on. How obvious is it?
Well, what's the line from the movie? You should have a rat chew that off. I'm just saying. Anyway, this is like some of the stuff. They're all these like progressive women. And they're getting up there. I read his letter, and I just, you know, it's really, I'm having existential crisis. Do you even know what that phrase means? All of these chicks saying the same thing. So two things. It's either organized purposefully for disinformation, or a lot of parents failed. Which I still think both could be true. A lot of parents failed. Why is it like a big thing? It's been out there for 20 years and these people are just like, I just read it and it's all different. And it's just all very conveniently done as a way to explain why they back Hamas and they think terrorism is a legitimate form of protest. That's what this is all about. I'd like to know who some of these people are, although I think some of this wasn't in the U.S. Just saying. A few other things to touch on, too. I wanted to find the way CNN, was it CNN? I wanted to find the way that they wrote about this. So the Jewish protester who was killed in California, I don't know if you guys saw the way that CNN worded the headline, the guy, Paul Kessler, he was killed. He was by this guy who targeted him because he was Jewish. He was a pro-Hamas dude. Remember, he hit him on the head with his megaphone, and then the guy fell back on the sidewalk, and it killed him. So they arrested this 50-year-old dude in connection with the death of this Jewish protester. This is the headline. Let me pull this up. Quote, arrest made in death of Jewish protester who fell and hit his head. Wow. So I have a question. How do you arrest a sidewalk? An arrest made. He just fell and hit his head, the protester. They actually don't. So I was reading the story. They actually don't get into it until like later on in the paragraph. Even though there were tons of different videos there with tons of different perspectives. Like here's where they said, well, witnesses say they were involved in a physical altercation, but it's unclear what interaction Kessler and Anolj had before the incident. None. The guy's just a nut job Jew hater, and he went over and hit him with his megaphone and knocked him down. You realize that acknowledging the reality of certain situations does not make you like a stooge for somebody, right? Can I just address that for one moment? Because I'm getting real tired of seeing some of this stuff. I don't see this really on the left. I see it from like stuff on the right. where they're arguing with each other. I have a friend who had was actually writing about this and saying, why don't they ever talk about the guy being that's being investigated for this guy's death, et cetera, et cetera. And someone else was like, oh, he fell and hit his head. And my friend who writes for a conservative website was like, it's more than that. This guy hit him and there's witnesses and there's other camera footage that hasn't even been made public. And they're like, why are you such a shill for Israel? That's what they asked her. Like, if you acknowledge that they were attacked, that this guy was attacked and killed because a dude hit him with a megaphone, then somehow you're a shill for this Jewish dude. Or if you acknowledge that Israel was attacked and that Hamas attacked them and that they are defending themselves and they have every right to, then somehow you're getting paid or you're a shill for Israel. That's blood libel. That's not disagreeing with the government. That is anti-Semitic BS. And I'm tired of seeing stupid-ass conservatives, wannabe conservatives, who were literally progressives a heartbeat ago, try to put that out there as like a legitimate criticism that has any roots in conservative thought. Have the courage to come out and just say that you don't like Jewish people. Don't try to fool the rest of us who aren't as intellectually vapid and know better. We got more to come. That my hat is my mood. Thank you, Patch Ops. My hat is my mood.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. I have one that I'm excited to read. So first up, this Florida. So this Florida woman, she was arrested. The victim's like, she tried ripping off my face. That's what she said. The Florida woman was arrested after a victim said she tried to rip my face off over a thermostat dispute. Now, I'm going to give her credit for her eyebrow game. That's all I'm giving her credit for, though. She's got strong brows, man. If you didn't live through the 90s with the thin brows, man. So it's near Boca Raton. A Florida woman was arrested. She allegedly attacked another woman over 65 because the woman messed with the thermostat. Normally, this is a dispute between dads and their children. According to the arrest affidavit, Palm Beach Sheriff's deputies said they responded to a domestic violence call at a home near Boca Raton earlier this month. They said that the woman at the home had gone to adjust the thermostat when the 31-year-old Bryland Springer, the hell kind of name is that? She's in some Pippi Longstocking pigtails in her mugshot. But the brow game's strong, dude. The victim stated that Springer tried to rip my face off. Now, the deputy couldn't determine whether or not it was just a turn of phrase, seeing as the victim did not have any marks or bruises on her face. Springer said the victim was lying. You know, Kane says that old people aren't innocent, so that could be, you know, one of these things. She was booked in a Palm Beach County jail, released. Her court date is next month, Kane.
Yeah. It's not all old people are innocent.
Yeah. You said all old people are not innocent.
That is no. I don't know why I fight with you on this.
I'm just saying. I get what you're saying, man.
I don't know why I do it.
I mean, she could have been lying. Okay. This guy must really love, I'm trying to think of it. Like dinosaur stuff, mammoth stuff. I can't imagine diving in gator-infested waters for this. But that's what this Florida man did. He risked his life for a mammoth jaw. He dove and swam in alligator-infested waters to get a rare, fully intact mammoth jaw. He says it's about 10,000 years old. He runs Fossil Junkies Dig and Dive Charters, and he was scouting new places to dive in the gator's house, and he found the fossil of a lifetime. He says he's a fossil junkie. Dude, he could have been murked by some gators. That's the gator's house. I couldn't do that, man. I got a problem swimming in lakes sometimes. Like, I don't like not knowing what's underneath me. It's like a control thing. Yeah. You know, I'm like, if I can't see my feet beneath me, I got issues, man. So one Florida man stole $900 worth of Walmart products and then left everything behind. I got a couple of other real good ones for you tomorrow. Friday. Stick around. We've got a whole other hour of fun and smack ahead. Stay with us.
Are you comfortable with the operation going on indefinitely? And is there any deal underway to free Hamas? Thank you.
Yes, no.
working backwards forward. Look, I have been deeply involved in moving on the hostage negotiation. I don't want to get ahead of myself here because I don't know what's happened in the last 4 hours, but we've gotten great cooperation from the Qataris. I've spoken with them as well a number of times. I think the pause and that Israeli, that the Israelis have agreed to, I'm getting too much detail. I know, Mr. Secretary, I'm going to stop. I am mildly hopeful. I'm mildly hopeful.
Wow. What? So, that's the President of the United States saying that he thinks the pause that the Israelis have, I don't think they should. He says, I think they've agreed to is down to, I'm getting into too much detail. I know, Mr. Secretary. Apparently, while Biden was speaking, there was a video camera that was on Mayorkas Antony Blinken. And as he was speaking, when he said that Xi Jinping was a dictator, it's kind of like a weird phone footage, but you can see Blinken shake his head and just be like, oh my gosh. And just, but he did not like when he did that. That's interesting. Very interesting. So welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here, top of this third hour with you. Listen coast to coast as well. And you can also watch the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV. You can find it also on YouTube and Facebook. Yeah, Antony Blinken was... he winced. He actually winced. And this was at this press conference. Apparently they had 4 hour discussions. So Biden was already just spent. So they had these 4 hour discussions. And when he was asked if Xi Jinping was a dictator, we played it already, he said, look, he is. But Blinken's response was just very interesting. He just winced. You could see him squeeze his hands together. He just kind of shook his head. It was just, he should have said he's a damn communist. That's what he is. Now, China was mad. They said that they issued this furious rebuke. And they blasted Biden's comments as, quote, wrong, irresponsible manipulation. So he's not a dictator. I mean, he literally said he's president for life. So that's a dictatorship? Right? The Chinese foreign ministry said they strongly oppose the wrong and irresponsible remarks. Biden had said, quote, he's a dictator in the sense that he is a guy who runs a country that is a communist country. It's based on a form of government totally different than ours. And Mao Ning, who is the spokesperson in Beijing, said, quote, this statement is extremely wrong and irresponsible political manipulation. They said that it should be pointed out that there will always be some people with ulterior motives who attempt to incite and damage U.S.-China relations. So they believe in democratic elections and they're anti-communist, right? Oh, wait, no. So how is it wrong? Don't make me defend anything Biden says, for the love. Please don't. I mean, how is it wrong? How is it incorrect? I mean, that's the thing. It's not. It's not at all. It's exactly right. But I'm sure you're not going to, if Biden would have said that like a little bit more forcefully and have actually would have, you know, taken the opportunity to explain while Xi Jinping is there, you know, why communism is so bad, that would have been so powerful. But he just didn't. He didn't at all. That's why he's doing so poorly in the polls. He's doing horrifically. That's why I'm telling you, they're going to be putting Newsom, gruesome Newsom, on the whole thing. So we'll see. Apparently, as it relates to the border, there's legislation going through for the border to provide. It's in the state of Texas. It's a bill to make crossing into the border from Mexico make it a state misdemeanor to give law enforcement the ability. They have to do stuff that seems like it's redundant because the federal government has tried to shut them down so many different ways. So they're going to be arresting people who enter illegally, and it would require a state judge to order them to leave in lieu of prosecution. And see, the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, is expected to sign it. And it's going to, it would also additionally create a new state, and it's going to create the new state crime, and it give those law enforcement officers the ability to do this. My curiosity is in how the Biden administration will react, because if memory serves, when they were trying to do this in Arizona, that is when Eric Holder in the Obama-Biden administration really went in and got incredibly litigious, tied all their stuff up with suits, and made it to where they could not have they could not have this they couldn't do anything like this. The bill here in Texas is called SB4, so they could arrest illegal immigrants and grant judges the power to issue these orders to remove them, to deport them. And they said that listen to this from CNN. This is such BS. Now listen to this. This is how they put it. Quote. The bill, SB4, gives law enforcement the power to arrest migrants and grants judges the power to issue orders to remove violators to Mexico, has sent ripples of fear throughout the Latino community in Texas, which makes up 40% of the state's population. So CNN thinks that law enforcement is just going to start rounding up just like Latino Texans. Does CNN believe that every person who comes in from, that is Latino or Hispanic, do they think that they're here illegally? Do you not? Can you just taste the racism? I mean, I know Skittles says taste the rainbow, but CNN, taste the racism. Ripples of fear throughout the community, which makes up 40% of the state's population. They're trying to fearmonger and be like, look, they just don't like brown people. They're going to arrest you. That presupposes, it begs the question that everybody who is in the Latino community of this 40% that they're here illegally. What an asininely racist thing to put in your article. Good heavens. That's just horrific. The ACLU condemned it. It's like the same thing as saying that you're going to be given the power to remove people from your home if they break into your home, and judges will have the power to make them vacate the premises. And then CNN writes, well, look at all these brown people that live here. I mean, it's going to really scare that percentage of the community. Oh my gosh. That's racist. That's insane. And also too, you realize that the people that are actually the loudest about this in these border states are themselves. They're Hispanic Americans. It does increase the penalty, as Kane noted. SB4 is about smuggling. The SB3, because there were a couple of bills that went through. But if they do the SB4, there's going to be a huge penalty. The ACLU says it's one of the most radical anti-immigrant bills ever. Is it? It sounds like they're just adhering to the law. How is that radical? See, do you see the language today? It's radical to follow the law. It's radical to just simply expect the law to be followed and to enforce it. That's not radical. My heavens. So I don't know if you heard this story. I wanted to get it. I have this. I think let me pull this up. I think I got it off of Daily Mail. This teacher, this is a heartbreaking story. So this teacher, it's on video too. She was brutally beaten. Joan Natick. She was violently attacked. And this was in Palm Coast, at a high school in Palm Coast, just outside of Jacksonville, by Brendan Deppa, who was 17 years old at the time. She had told him to stop playing on his Nintendo Switch. He's 6'6". He's now 18. He was seen punching and kicking her in the back and the head. He beat her unconscious at the school on camera. He pleaded no contest as an adult for first degree aggravated battery. He faces sentencing on January 30th. The family was saying, well, he is autistic. So like that's like some... You know, that's a really ignorant, offensive thing as a way to cite for exclusion of law and order, because I know autistic people and they also are can understand the difference between right and wrong and not doing something like this. Where were his parents? This 17-year-old's parents, this 17-year-old, now he's 18, this Brendan Deppa, he apparently had a record of this where he has attacked people before. Like, he's had like three violent instances before this. And then when he went to prison, he started beating the hell out of a prison guard. So he has serious issues. And the family was, they were, I guess, expecting the woman that he beat. And you can see she's not doing anything. She's talking to him. And all of a sudden he lunges towards her. He hits her so hard. He knocks her back. Knocks her back and she rolls over on her face. And then he just jumps on her and starts bashing her, stomping on her, kicking her head, punching the back of her head. She has, she had internal injuries. She had broken, she had five broken ribs, loss of hearing, gashes all over her face, busted eyes, a dent. She had a, like a busted nose. Her nose was broken. She had, her ear was torn. She had internal injuries. She says that in addition to all the stuff, the physical stuff, she's also having cognitive issues now because she was beaten so ferociously by this guy and he was stomping on her head and everything else. And the family was like, oh, well, she, you know, they, I guess they expected her to intervene and ask for leniency. And she said no. She says she wants him to be locked up for the maximum amount of time. And the way that the family, the way that that was like written, the way that the family addressed it, like, that's bad. Like, you should have controlled your giant ass kid. I mean, he like almost murdered her. And she was out and he's just beating the back of her head. She has all these cognitive issues now. So it came about that she has been placed on unpaid leave of absence shortly after she returned to work in August under a different title. But she's been surviving on charity from the community this whole time. This is what happens with teachers. Do you realize, like with Parkland, do you know that kid, that not kid, he was a young adult, that murderer in Parkland? He was so violent and had been into it with so many other students and faculty at that school that he had to have a minder go to class with him. Nobody knew that. Did you guys know that? It's weird how that didn't come out on CNN, the town hall, right? Like, he had to have a minder. It's weird how the sheriff, that disgraced POS, didn't acknowledge that because he had such a bad record. They protect this stuff. And as a part of this, like, reducing the school to prison pipeline thing, they think that just not reporting this or hiding it like they did in Loudoun County with the guy who raped the girl in the bathroom, they think that just hiding this kind of stuff, that's going to make the reduce the numbers from a school to prison pipeline. It's going to look like we're having an impact. This is the kind of stuff that they do. This is why I say that these criminals thrive on the indulgence of the way society handles this. It's heinous. This poor woman, the photos of her injuries are bad, 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 bad.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so the most popular baby names, they need to stop. Because they said apparently number one is Noah. One of my kids' names is on this list. And I had this name forever ago. And now everybody's guy was like, it's a unique name. And all these damn people are not naming their kids after it. Stop it. Video captures a rope-climbing burglar stealing lotto scratchers and cigarettes. KTLA. This is very inventive. He rappelled into a local business after he cut a hole in the roof, broke through the ceiling earlier this week. Someone is a Mission Impossible fan. The unusual robbery occurred before 7 a.m. It was the M&M Smoke and Gift Shop in Colorado. They dressed in dark clothing, came down on a rope, retrieved a bag, and then rifled through it, and then was able to... It's just crazy. They're actually... They filed a police report about the burglar, but they're still investigating because they haven't caught the dude. Mission possible. Good grief. So, let's see. Minnesota officials are ready for a potential feral pig invasion for people who don't think that wild hogs are a thing. That includes everybody on the left who has no idea about guns. This is why AR-15s are very useful, because those pigs are super destructive than wild hogs and very dangerous. They said that apparently feral pig reproduction in Minnesota is off the charts and it went undetected, and now it's a situation. So apparently they're getting ready to do something about it, which means people are going hunting. We have a lot more on the way. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us. More of The Dana Show back after this.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, The Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But now this seems to be all about politics. What do you say about that? You know, you have innocent children in Palestinians who are dying, innocent Israeli children who are dying. And no one seems to be able to say enough, stop that.
I'm not interested in politics at all. My only concern is getting Emily back.
So this is genius Gail King at CBS. She's talking to the father of an 8-year-old Israeli girl who's being held hostage by Hamas, lecturing him. Like, oh, well, innocent children are dying. That's unfortunate that Hamas chose that. War is hell, Gail. Maybe you should have been a little bit more vocal about that before Hamas, you know, broke another ceasefire. Maybe you should have been super vocal about that the last time Hamas broke a ceasefire, or the time before that when Hamas broke a ceasefire, or the time before that when Hamas broke a ceasefire, or the time before that when Hamas broke a ceasefire, or when they sent in suicide bombers or rockets or missiles or IEDs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, at what point is there some recognition that you had multiple opportunities to step in and try to get the people who were escalating the situation to de-escalate the situation? But don't come crying now and say, we didn't want this. This is awful. There are innocent people. Of course. Why do you think that there were so many were so vocal for so long? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. And the whole point, I just think of, I mean, kudos to that father who kept his cool during that discussion. Imagine being able, you know, talking to someone that has the luxury of not having to experience anything like that. I mean, that's privilege. It's absolute privilege right there. Just wild to me. Absolutely wild to me. It kind of also... Just the sheer, just, what's the word I'm looking for? The dismissal of that father's experience for the purpose of pushing some sort of agenda, as though one loss is worse than another loss. And that's not the argument. I mean, the argument has never been about, well, should civilians or should not civilians be affected. That went out the window the moment Hamas made the determination and acted upon it that it would not live peacefully with its neighbor. That is not anyone else's fault but their own. That choice went out the window when they decided to use Al-Shifa Hospital as their literal headquarters. That doesn't come from all the people out there, the show me the dead babies crowd. That doesn't come from IDF. That comes from that's Amnesty International, NPR, you know, those super conservative Israel loving entities. Good grief. Just wild. Just wild. Washington Post, speaking of dismissal, I don't know if you saw this. This was stunning. I had retweeted it. The Washington Post, they came out with this series, right? And you knew they were going to come out with this. They're just, it's timed Kane perfectly, right? As Democrats are trying very desperately to pivot to gun control. They want to make gun control a motivating issue. They've been trying to do this every election, but they want to bring it up to the standard of abortion, of what they use with abortion, right? And so I saw this, and like I said, I had reposted it on X. And the Washington Post, they said that their editor, Phil Rucker, was saying that they took the extraordinary step to publish never-before-seen images from mass shootings. He says they're disturbing, but together with deeply personal accounts, they offer the public a real look at what an AR-15 does. And they include, you know, Sutherland Springs, you know, all these horrific tragedies, and they have, you know, really all these awful photos that are included in there. One of the things that wasn't included, though, because, you know, when we talk about defensive gun usages, And remember, it was the gun control lobby. And my friend Steve Gutowski got some of these emails. It was the gun control lobby that pushed the CDC to delete defensive gun uses from their database because they said the presence of that data, which, by the way, outnumbered all of the criminal uses, they said that data jeopardized their agenda of gun control. There are emails on this. I've written about it. Steve Gutowski got the emails. I've known him for a very long time. And they wanted all of that removed. So these people are uninterested in having actually balanced conversations about firearms because defensive usages vastly, vastly outmeasure criminal uses. And I noticed, you know, when they're telling these stories about all of the evil that's done with an AR-15, you know, my friend Stephen Williford, who has been on this show, has one of the best, he's actually a brilliant writer, has a really amazing book. It's heart-wrenching. I've never cried reading a book in my ever-loving life until I read his. And Stephen Williford used his own AR-15 to stop the murderer in Sutherland Springs from turning that town into the unfortunate statistic of owning the worst mass shooting in American history. It's one of the worst in Texas. But he stopped the guy using his AR-15. He stopped him as the guy was looking down the barrel about to execute a woman. And he had said he called out evil to come out of that church. And he engaged him and he hit him. Wounded him, and the guy fled. They don't tell these stories. That's a very, very powerful. That's one of Stephen Williford's stories, one of the most powerful stories that I've ever heard. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Got panned, and I don't know why. This movie, Lady in the Water, M. Night Shyamalan's Lady in the Water. This came after, you know, his hit with Bruce Willis, he had a string of movies there. It came after Sixth Sense, and it came after the one with Mel Gibson. It came after all of that. Lady in the Water, Joaquin Phoenix was in it, Bryce Dallas Howard, Joaquin Phoenix was in the other one. Bryce Dallas Howard was in this one. She was the lady in the water. And it takes place, I can't remember the name of the guy. Oh my gosh, famous actor, I can't remember. Anyway, he was in this. He's sort of like the protagonist on this. And he's just like this caretaker of this apartment complex. And the story centers on this mythical person that was found in the pool. And it's not a story that's pushing anything other than equipping the called, I think, is the biggest lesson to take out of this. Because in that movie, in the very end of that movie, because there's always a twist, it gives you goosebumps when you watch it. All of these people that thought that they just happened to live in this apartment complex by chance, all of these people who thought that they were just neighbors, and all of these individuals have their own eccentricities. And as it turns out, there was a purpose for that. There was a larger purpose for why these people were there and why they were the way they were, and why they had the friendships and the family that they had. And it all comes together in that final bit. And his story is very much like this. I mean, it was a guy who trained his whole life. He custom built his AR-15. He knew every inch of that rifle so that when he looked down the barrel, when he got this guy in his crosshairs, he knew that he could trust it because he built it. And he knew he could trust his training. He could rely on his skill set. You don't rise to the challenge. You fall back on your highest level of training. He was prepared. The called was equipped. And because God equips the called. And it reminds me, you know, of the story of the pregnant woman. I think this was in Tampa. Her husband was working. I think he was working nights. And he had spoken to the press. The husband talked to the press about this. The husband was at work. the two men broke into the house. There are two different stories. There was one man who was at work. His pregnant wife was at home. Men broke into the house. It's never just singularly in a home invasion. There's always more than one. And she used her AR-15 to defend herself. There was another situation, another pregnant wife, where a group of home invaders came in. This one was NBC, and this is the Florida woman. They got her husband. He was fighting with them. They pistol whipped him. She pulled out her AR-15 and defended her husband, herself, and her family. But they don't talk about these stories. You know how powerful it is to talk to a brand new mother sitting there with her newborn, and she used her AR-15 to save her life from home invaders, from men who were looking for a little bit more than cash and jewelry? I mean, there are so many of these stories, and I think it's a crime to not include them. It is malicious and downright evil to not balance out the coverage with the stories of defensive uses. They're powerful. You don't have to go and get a gun. No one's making you do it. But to ignore the number of cases where people relied on their training, they realized something horrific was going to befall them unless they acted, and they chose at that moment to act. It's more than just about trying to suppress how these rifles are used. It's about suppressing the survival instinct. It is about suppressing the urge you have as a parent to protect your family. It's about suppressing the urge you have as a woman to protect yourself. And women are getting it from every angle right now. If you feel uncomfortable in the bathroom, you feel uncomfortable in the locker room because a guy with a schlong comes in, and just because he's wearing lipstick, you're supposed to accept him as part of the sisterhood. And if you're worrying about being violated in any way, you're just a bigot. Lay down and take your rape. If you're a man, you're told that they're teaching you, they're trying to condition you to ignore your instinct to protect your wife and your children. It's more than just about the firearm. It is about suppressing your survival instinct. It is about suppressing your instinct to speak out in the face of evil, in the face of injustice. It is about suppressing any dissent or objection. It is about making sure there is a quiet and complacent society. That is what this is about. That is why this is so incredibly evil. And the fact that you have a major publication participating in this is inexcusable. It's a betrayal of American values. It's a betrayal of truth. It's a betrayal of defending the innocent. It's a betrayal of life.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Leading tech companies like Anthropic, and I'm going to mispronounce.
They say like Anthropic, like that's werewolves, right?
I'm not going to even try. It's better not to try and not mispronounce than try and mispronounce.
He said, is he trying to say philanthropic? Because I swear he just said lycanthropic, and I'm like, that's werewolves. Are we talking about werewolves now?
Oh, I didn't know.
Dude.
That.
Spooky. Spooky season's past. Not really. Welcome back to the program. That was POTUS, who nobody knows what he's saying. Golly. Sounded like he said that. Just gonna say,
that's our president. Just so
he speak. I mean, like he was just speaking just a little bit ago. That's just like his remarks from just a bit ago. Someone get him some of Hunter's Coke stat. Like wake him up. My gosh, wake him up. I don't know, man. He's met with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping was also like, yeah, we're going to make sure we don't let fentanyl get out there and all that. Didn't they promise to do that before at the border? And they didn't really do anything. They're like, yeah, we'll do that. I'm sure. No. I don't understand the point of meeting with these people. I get too. Kane was sharing with me some video on break, and it showed POTUS and dictator Winnie the Pooh going into the event, the APEC event. And you had one of our soldiers holding the American flag, and another was holding the commie flag of China. And people are like, "Oh, calm down! It's a summit. That's customary." That's a communist. That's a communist. I don't like communists. Communism's never worked, and their mortal god, who bled Karl Marx, the only contribution that he ever gave this world was worm food when he croaked. Stinky, fat, bloated Karl Marx. Worm food, his only contribution. All right, Kane, today in stupidity. What do we have? Save all us right. All.
Believe it or not, it is our president again. He's again speaking at APEC, and so we've played several of these cuts already. This one is him claiming, this is just a straight up lie. I don't think this has anything to do with just being dumb. This is just a lie.
You're so nice.
Listen to what he says here. Listen.
Median household wealth has grown by 37% in real terms.
Well, what?
Since before the pandemic.
What?
I got questions.
Median household wealth has grown 37%.
We're all patrillionaires. We all got 37% more wealth. Look at that. Just like that, because he said so. It must be true.
What is he talking about?
Must be true because he said so. Tomorrow's Friday, guys. We've made it through the week. We are officially today 1 week away from Turkey Fest, Thanksgiving, giving thanks, eating lots of turkey. And tomorrow's Friday. We made it through it. I will be back on air with you tomorrow. In the meantime, make sure you sign up for Chapter and Verse over at Substack. All kinds of good things. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.